Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Healthier with Ihtisham Ahmed. And today's episode is about cholesterol. And you must have heard of cholesterol before, I'm sure. You've probably heard bad things, right? It's terrible for you. It causes heart disease. So let's dive into it. Let's get some answers as to what does it exactly do and how does it do it. So let's talk about the actual molecule. What is it used for? What is its point in the body? So it turns out that it is quite important, right? It's essential, and it's used to make many important molecules like vitamin D, right? Steroid hormones like, for example, cortisol, some sex hormones such as testosterone and estrogen, progesterone. So it's kind of like a precursor for those. It's also used in it's a component in bile salts, right, which is used in the digestive system. So how is it possible that something that is used for such important and essential molecules is considered taboo and terrible for you and causes heart disease and all that? So obviously, right, everything in excess is going to be bad for you. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's in excess, it's going to be bad. So that's number one. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's even like a vitamin, even a healthy vitamin, right? In excess, there's always an amount where if you cross that, if you go past that amount, it will be toxic, all right? So there are still some misconceptions that should be addressed about it, right? So we know it's bad for you in excess, but let's address some of the misconceptions. But before we get into the misconceptions, we need to fill in some details and we need to understand the mechanism of how cholesterol works. So keep in mind, right, our blood is made of mostly water. And something that doesn't mix in water very well is oil, which is essentially fats, right? Fats, grease, oils, they don't mix very well in water. So cholesterol is a type of fat, so it's going to be hydrophobic, just like oil, and it's not going to mix very well into our watery blood. So that means that our blood can't really transport cholesterol directly. It needs something to hold that cholesterol, a transporter. Okay, these transporters, they carry cholesterols and other hydrophobic materials as well, like fats, like normal fats, like triglycerides. They also carry proteins, right? So they carry cholesterol to different cells around the body. And these transporters are known as lipoproteins. The different types are VLDL, LDL, HDL, and chylomicrons. And we're mostly interested in LDL and HDL, right? Those are the two main ones that determine your health when it comes to heart disease. So LDL is what people call bad cholesterol. And since they say that because it takes cholesterol towards the tissue, so from your digestive tract towards tissues in the bloodstream. And HDL is what we call good cholesterol because it takes cholesterol away from tissues and it clears the cholesterol from your blood. It clears the bad cholesterol from your blood. And it turns out that high LDL levels causes a heart attack. So having high levels of LDL is called hypercholesterolemia. And that increases your risk of having a heart attack, heart disease, or plaque buildup in your arteries. And we call it atherosclerosis. So you're probably thinking now, to lower our heart disease, we need to lower our blood cholesterol. And to lower our blood cholesterol, we probably should eat less cholesterol, right? Wrong. Because you must understand where all this cholesterol comes from. The three main places where cholesterol can come from. It can come from our diet, it can be created by the liver, or it can be created by the small intestine. And about 70 to 80% of our cholesterol in the blood is created from scratch by our liver. Meaning that whether you eat a lot or a little bit of cholesterol, your liver will still be making a large amount of cholesterol, right? Making the difference very nominal, right? There's going to be little to no actual difference if you don't eat cholesterol, right? So something Something interesting to keep in mind is that even if you do eat less cholesterol, right? Let's say you do that, our liver will actually make more cholesterol as a result to maintain a constant blood cholesterol level, right? So we want everything in our blood, in our body to stay constant, right? So when we decrease our dietary cholesterol, our liver will actually make more as a result. So how do you escape this madness, right? If you eat less, your liver makes more, right? So how do we fix this blood cholesterol dilemma? Well, there's two main things you can do. So one thing you do is introduce some things into your diet, okay? And that does not mean remove fatty food, or that doesn't mean remove high cholesterol foods. This means to introduce foods that target parts of your body, right, and target the process of clearing LDL in your blood. These foods, right, include there's actually a there's a journal that talks about many foods, right? The journal is called The Effects of Foods on LDL Cholesterol Levels, a systematic review of accumulated evidence from systematic reviews and meta-analyses of randomized controlled trials. This journal is by Malin Schoeneck and David Igman. It was released in 2021, right, May 6th. It mentions here that soy protein, tomatoes, and flax seeds and almonds cause small reductions in LDL levels, right? The foods that cause high reductions that were investigated in the study are avocados and turmeric, right? So avocados and turmeric cause moderate to large reductions in LDL levels or bad cholesterol levels, right? Some nuts like hazelnuts, walnuts, right, cause moderate decreases. High fiber and whole grain foods also caused moderate reductions, right? Sorry, not moderate increases, moderate reductions in bad cholesterol, right? So these are things that have helped to reduce your cholesterol levels, right? And you can look at this in detail on the journal I just mentioned to get a little bit more information, right? Another really important journal is Dietary Cholesterol and the Lack of Evidence in Cardiovascular Disease, right? Now, this kind of expands on my point that your dietary cholesterol plays a very small role in cardiovascular disease. Now, I want to make something clear. I'm talking about dietary cholesterol. I'm not talking about dietary fat in this case, right? So dietary cholesterol causes very, 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 very tiny difference in your cardiovascular disease risk, given the current data, right? So the journal I just mentioned, Dietary Cholesterol and the Lack of Evidence in Cardiovascular Disease, was released in 2018, June. It's by Ghada A. Suleiman. And if you just take a look at the abstract and scroll down to the conclusion, right, it just mentions, I'll just mention it very briefly, that there is evidence that saturated fatty acids and trans fats increase your cardiovascular disease risk, right? But it does not support the notion that dietary cholesterol, right, increases cardiovascular disease risk, right? So coming back to the point, diet is one place where you can work on to decrease the bad cholesterol in your blood, right? The foods I mentioned, some of them were nuts, high fiber foods, whole grain foods, avocados. So avocados and turmeric seem to be the best at lowering your bad cholesterol levels out of all the foods that were studied in that review. So diet is one thing. Another thing you could target is physical activity, right? This comes as no surprise. We probably guessed that physical activity is probably good for you, especially when it comes to your heart disease risk, right? So there's a study here, The study is titled Differential Effects of Aerobic Exercise, Resistance Training, and Combined Exercise Modalities on Cholesterol and Lipid Profile, colon, review, comma, synthesis, and recommendations. This was released in 2014. It's by Stephen Mann, Christopher Beattie, and Alfonso Jimenez. And if you take a look, well, this journal is very, very descriptive, a lot of details here. If you go down to the conclusion, even the conclusion is like a three paragraph conclusion, right? But it mentions that prolonged moderate intensity aerobic exercise, right, is good as a starting point if you've been sedentary or you're new to exercise, right? For those of you that are not new to exercise, right? A lot of young people who are not new to exercise, resistance training is also good, right? And if you combine them, if you do resistance training as well as aerobic exercise, which is like cardio, right? If you do moderate cardio as well as some resistance training, both of those can increase, can enhance the effects of reducing your bad cholesterol levels. All right. Something this study also highlights is that high intensity exercises have are not shown to be more effective than moderate exercise. So there's a very small difference in doing high intensity versus moderate intensity. So you're just better off doing moderate intensity instead of punishing yourself with high intensity exercise. Unless you like high intensity exercise, then that's your choice, right? But it says that consistent moderate intensity aerobic exercise or cardio is good for starters, right? And resistance training is also good. Resistance training meaning weight training. And if you combine them, right? If you do something we call concurrent training in the fitness world, if you do concurrent training and you mix cardio and resistance training, then that will enhance the effects of reducing your bad blood cholesterol levels. So, one thing you should also keep in mind, right, with all this considered, you should also keep in mind that your liver, right, since it creates all this cholesterol from scratch, right, in a process we called de novo cholesterol synthesis, right, de novo meaning from scratch, like out of nothing, new, right, brand new. Since your liver creates it from scratch, right, the rate at which your liver creates cholesterol is also biologically or genetically determined. So that means that some people are genetically going to have higher levels of LDL in their blood, right? Their liver just happens to make a lot more of it than other people. And some people are genetically blessed with having overall low cholesterol, right? What I've noticed is a lot of people in the South Asian community, I have not seen any studies on this, so I can't comment on. I'm not saying this like as a fact. I'm just saying this something I've noticed is that a lot of people in South Asian communities, even amongst my family, a lot of them have high cholesterol. So I think that might be the cause of genetics, right? But whether there's genetics or whether there's not, you can always introduce exercise and introduce these foods that can reduce your LDL levels, and they will significantly reduce your chances, right, of suffering with heart disease, right? Some people are just genetically predisposed to having a higher chance of getting heart disease, especially if it runs in the family, right? But if you do consistent physical activity and you introduce foods, right, if you eat these foods consistently as well, right? As I mentioned, avocados, nuts, high fiber, turmeric. If you introduce all these things over time, it should significantly reduce your chances of getting heart disease that is caused by cholesterol, right? So this is targeting just cholesterol, not other factors as well. There's other factors to heart disease as well, right? But cholesterol, high blood cholesterol is definitely like a huge factor, right? But all in all, keep in mind, right, that eating low cholesterol food is going to do very little, right? And the difference is like little to nothing. So there's no point in putting too much energy on that, right? More energy should go into towards introducing the foods I mentioned, as well as staying active. There's also a lot of other things. I kept this very brief, right? And I'm giving you this information based off the journals that I have investigated, right? I'm sure, right, if you guys maybe read through the journals that I mentioned, there might be a little bit more. Or if you, even if you do your own research, just make sure it's from the National Library of Medicine or if it's from PubMed, right? Credible sources. There's definitely a lot we can do, and we're still learning about what we can do. But those are some ways to decrease LDL that is that there's very high evidence of, right, from the journals that I mentioned. All right. Hope that was helpful. Hope that was informative and helps you make some informative decisions. I hope that cleared some of the misconceptions, right? Now that if someone says, oh, I can't eat red meat because it puts fat on my heart, right? Now you know that that's not entirely the case, right? so I hope this was informative. Take care. I'll see you on the next episode.